Varya, foremost. Avatara, descended. Mayaya, by his internal potencies or causeless mercy. Vena Anga, from the body of King Vena. Jatasya, who have appeared. Cha, and Paurushani, glorious activities. Te, of you. Vachapatinam, of great orators. Api, although. Babramuhu, became bewildered. Diyaha, the minds. Translation. The reciters continued, Dear King, you are a direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. And by His causeless mercy, you have descended on this earth. Therefore, it is not possible for us to actually glorify your exalted activities. Although you have appeared through the body of King Vena, even great orators and speakers like Lord Brahma and other demigods cannot exactly describe the glorious activities of your lordship. I'll read the purport. In this verse, the word Mayaya means by your causeless mercy. The Mayavadi philosophers explain the word Maya as meaning illusion or falseness. However, there is another meaning of Maya, that is causeless mercy. There are two kinds of Maya, Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. Mahamaya is an expansion of Yoga Maya, and both these Mayas are different expressions of the Lord's internal potencies. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord appears through His internal potencies, Atma Mayaya. We should therefore reject the Mayavada explanation that the Lord appears in a body given by the external potency, the material energy. The Lord and His incarnation are fully independent and can appear anywhere and everywhere by virtue of the internal potency. Although born out of the so-called dead body of King Vena, King Prithu was still an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the Lord's internal potency. The Lord can appear in any family. Sometimes He appears as a fish incarnation, Matsya Avatar, or a boar incarnation, Varaha Avatar. Thus the Lord is completely free and independent to appear anywhere and everywhere by His internal potency. It is stated that Ananta, an incarnation of the Lord, who has unlimited mouths, cannot reach the end of His glorification of the Lord. Although Ananta has been describing the Lord since time immemorial. So what to speak of demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and others? It is said that the Lord is Shiva Virinchi Nutam, always worshipped by demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. If the demigods cannot find adequate language to express the glories of the Lord, then what to speak of others? Consequently, reciters like the Suta and Magadha felt inadequate to speak about King Prithu. By glorifying the Lord with exalted verses, one becomes purified. Although we are unable to offer prayers to the Lord in an adequate fashion, our duty is to make the attempt in order to purify ourselves. It is not that we should stop our glorification because demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot adequately glorify the Lord. Rather, as stated by Prahlad Maharaj, everyone should glorify the Lord according to his own ability. If we are serious and sincere devotees, the Lord will give us the intelligence to offer prayers properly. ஓமஜானிமிருந்தஸ்ய ஜானஞ்சனாஷலாகய சக்ஷூர்ன்மிலிதமேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குருவே நம. ஸ்ரீ சைத்தன்ய மனோவிஷ்ணும் ஸ்தாபிதமேன பூதலே ஸ்வயம் ரூபா கதாமயம் ததாதீகா சுதாமிகம். ஹே கிருஷ்ணா கருணா சிந்து தீனபந்து ஜெகத்பதே கோபேஷா கோபிகா காந்தா ராதா காந்தா நமஸ்ததே. தப்த காஞ்சனி கௌரங்கி ராதே விருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி விருஷபானு சூத தேவி பிரணமாமி ஹரிப்ரே. ஜெய் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைத்தன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர் ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌர பக்த விருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. So the most recent background in the Vena episode that we have been hearing in this class for the past few weeks is that when Prithu Maharaj, after his coronation, was visited and glorified by demigods and other great personalities, but Prithu Maharaj himself was cautioning everybody that please don't do this. And Prabhupada explained, the Shastras explained, he was basically saying that those godly qualities which are expected of a saintly king, Rajarshi, have not manifested. So in one sense, he was telling, don't be in a haste. Of course, when Prithu Maharaj says such things, it is actually a caution for all of us to be warned against those imposters who position themselves as a Supreme Lord. But even though Prithu Maharaj said so, these professional reciters, as is mentioned in the first shloka of this chapter, on the advice of the sages and the Brahmanas, they actually continued to glorify him. Rather, they increased the worship. Why? Because they were well informed. They were well informed who he was. We understand that Prithu Maharaj was a Shaktyavesh avatar, as has been mentioned in many of the earlier purports. Prabhupada mentioned there are six types of avatars, basic avatars. First we have the Purush avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Shuradaksha Vishnu. Then we have the Guna avatars, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and the maintainer Lord Vishnu. Then we have the Yuga avatars, the different Yugas, Hayagriva, Krishna, and now Lord Chaitanya, the golden avatar. Then we have the Manvantra avatar, Manvantra avatars for each age of Manu. There are 14 Manus in a day of Brahma, 12 hours of Brahma. Then we have the Leela avatars, who specifically come for particular Leelas, Lord Ram, Varaha, Vamana, and so on. And then we have the Avesh avatar, Shakti Avesh avatar. Srila Prabhupada points out that in the regular Vishnu avatars, all the six opulence of Lord Krishna are manifest. But in the Shakti Avesh avatar, the Avesh avatar, some particular opulence of the Lord is manifest, not all the six. Like Prabhupada explains that the Kumaras, they exemplified the knowledge opulence of the Supreme Lord. Narad Muni, who is also considered Shaktivesh avatar, he exemplified the devotional aspect of the Supreme Lord. Brahma, Lord in many places, even though Lord Brahma is seen as a living entity, he is also in many places also considered some kind of Avesh, Shaktavesh avatar, where he is showing the creative opulence of the Supreme Lord. Lord Buddha is also a Shaktavesh avatar, and he is showing us, he is demonstrating to us the renunciation opulence of the Supreme Lord. And Prithu, King Prithu, he is the ruling force, he is the display of the ruling force of the Supreme Lord. In that sense, he is the perfect king, Raja Rishi. As we all know, that ideally, there should be a Varnashram system in place. Just one of the earlier speakers on this topic mentioned that Prabhupada said, as he had, after he had finished, rather when he was leaving the planet, that I have done 50% of the work that is needed for the Krishna conscious movement to go on. And the balance 50%, what needs to be established is the Varnashram system. We know that Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita itself, Chatur Varnam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasa, that I created these four Varnas and the four Ashramas. So it is not something man-made, it is already there. But somehow it has been lost because of the onset of Kali Yuga. But Prabhupada wished and our parampara wished that it be re-established, and that is a major task at hand. So Prithu Maharaj was the ideal king in such a system where we have the Varnas and Ashramas operating in an efficient and perfect way. It is difficult in this age to ever think how can this caste system be so valid, or rather how was it there in the first place, because it seems to go totally against common sense, it seems to go totally against the right of equality. But if we are sober, if we are thoughtful, we will see that actually the Varnashram system is the most scientific system that can be put in place to have a harmonious spiritual and material existence. When we talk about the four types of Varnas, the four types of classifications, the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras, Prabhupada says, Srila Prabhupada says, that they already exist. In any society, these kind of classifications already exist. Though we may not classify them or brand them as such, whether you go to Russia, America, Africa, Japan, in any culture, there will always be four types of natures. Four types of nature. There will always be a class of people who are always interested to know and to teach. That is their natural tendency. Anywhere. And you can't make them otherwise. And even if you make them otherwise, they don't fit properly. It becomes an incompatible situation. Like that, there is a class of people who are naturally administrative, the Kshatriyas. And there is a class of people who are naturally business-like. And there are the rest who simply want to help. Their attitude is basically service. It is all there. But the Vedic literature positions them in a very scientific and systematic way. In the Bhagavad Gita itself, in the 18th chapter, the qualities of a Brahmana are mentioned. Sama, Dama, Tapa, Saucham, Arjavam Evacha, Shanti Arjavam Evacha means peacefulness, sense control, cleanliness, Vairag, then austerity, Shanti, tolerance, Arjavan, honesty. These are Arjavan, all these are Swabhava. This should be the natural quality. For a Brahminical person, these are natural. Swabhavajam, not artificially cultivated. Jnanam Vijnanam. He has knowledge and he knows how to apply it. Jnana, it becomes Vijnana when you apply it or when you realize it. Astikyam, religiosity. Brahma, these are the qualities of Brahmana. Brahma Svabhavacham. These are the natural qualities of a Brahmana. That means a Brahmana is a naturally renounced person. He is a very simple person. He is a very austere person. He is knowledgeable. So when one has such qualities naturally, one automatically commands respect. In today's world, which we see, we are always insecure about each other. We are thinking how this person is going to exploit me. So when you see a person who is actually very detached, who is actually living very simply, who has no desire for opulence, you will see, even you means we all of us, we all see, that when you come across such a person, you naturally have respect for such a person. If such a person speaks, you will listen. Because he commands that. Because you also think it must be true because he is himself exemplifying these qualities in his behavior and activities. So you don't feel threatened by him. So the Brahmanas in the original situation had these qualities naturally or by training. By training, but then they have acquired them. They are not putting on an act. Then when you talk about one step lower, Kshatriyas, that is also described in the Bhagavad Gita itself. Shauryam, Tejo, Dhritir, heroic, powerful, determined, Dasyakam, he is resourceful. These are all natural qualities. Then what? Yuddhyache apalayana. He is not one, yuddha means war, he is not one to return from a battlefield. This is possibly one of the biggest qualities of a Kshatriya. He is not one to return from a battlefield defeated. Which means either he will win or he will die. This is the natural quality of a Kshatriya. He is ashamed to come back alive if he is defeated in a war or battle. Means he won't feel like showing his face. He would rather commit suicide. If such a quality is there, then he becomes a Kshatriya. Apart from him being powerful, brave. Actually we see, so this is we are talking about earlier Yugas, but even 50 years back, 100 years back, 200 years back, not just even in Indian history, even in the Western history, you will find such people existed. They had no qualms just to go fight, die. There's no thinking. So what will happen? No. Just go, fight, die. Be glorious. To think that I will get a better birth just by this endeavor. That is Kshatriya. And again, Swabhavajam. Kshatram guna, Kshatram karma, by natural quality. Then we had the Vaishyas, Goraksha, Krishi Goraksha, that is farming, cow protection and Vanajam, trade. These are his natural qualities, swabhavajam. And the kshatriya and the shudra who helps in this. Even shudra, to be a shudra also is a qualification. It's not that shudra is also ordinary person. Why? Because he has got a service attitude. He's got a service. To be a shudra also is a qualification. Though it is said in Kali Yuga, Kala Shudra Sambhava, actually we are not even that. That's why Prabhupada says, apart from fourth class, there are fifth class, sixth class, seventh class, eighth class. So we should not even think that, you know, we are shudras. Unless we have a natural attitude for service and obey. Means someone who is willing to listen and obey. So that also is a qualification. So such was the scientific nature of this Varnashram system. In such a system, the lesser caste automatically respect the higher. The Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, they respect, my God, Brahmana, you're a simple man. I cannot be like him, Baba. I cannot be like him. He's too much. He's too renounced. I am too attached. So naturally there is respect. The Vaishyas respect the Kshatriya, who can just go and fight. The Vaishya says, I cannot do that. I am worried about, you know, what will happen to this, what will happen to him, what will happen to, no. And the Shudra, he respects the Vaishya. So such a system, such a scientific system was in place. And Prithu Maharaj was representing, or was a Raj Rishi, or the king in such a system. So this is the extraordinary requirement that you must have a saintly king. Now these qualities that Shri Radha Raj Bihari Ji ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshmandaman ki jai. These qualities in Kali Yuga, we say Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Even in the earlier Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, actually when one is born, one is still born a Shudra. But because of the scientific system and because of the power of training and natural qualities, the Shudra gets trained in a Brahminical home, he gets trained and becomes a Brahmana by a certain age, generally age of 12, by which he is given the thread. And if by some chance he does not acquire those qualities, then he is not given such a thread. It is not automatic. So in the earlier Yugas, it was possible to train very easily for a particular person, even though he is born a Shudra, to take up the particular caste he was born in. If he is born in a Brahminical family, he would become a Brahmana. There was, say, 80%, 90% chance, because of training and because of the nature of that yuga. But in Kali Yuga, it doesn't happen naturally. That is why it says Kalau Shudra Sambhava. So, what do we do now? So we say, we are all born Shudras. But fortunately, we have been given a great benefit. Kale dosha nide rajan eko hi asti mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangam paramprajay. But we have been given a great boon, a great facility where we can jump across this great training process and immediately transcend what to speak of Vaishya, Kshatriya or a Brahmana. We directly get the opportunity to become a Vaishnava. Transcending all these three modes, the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, the mode of goodness, and come into Shuddha Sattva. We are given a chance, such a great opportunity by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should take advantage of this system. So even though we may not expect a Prithu Maharaj to be around, but Krishna has come in the form of his holy name, Nama Rupa. So we have to take advantage of this chant. Now coming to this qualities again, this Varnashram system, just how deep and how well it is entrenched in the Indian culture, in the Indian psyche, can be seen by one example, though strange it may, as it may seem. I was just reading the newspaper when I saw a very apparently a very regressive and poor manifesto of a particular party. I'm not even trying to support that party, but what was surprising is that the leader of that party, you know, he was putting up a situation, putting up a manifesto, which is actually very Vedic, but in the modern context, everyone poked fun at him. What did he say? Does anyone recall what is it? One particular party leader, he made a manifesto in which he said, I'm going to ban computers. I'm going to ban all kinds of agricultural machinery. No tractors, no this, no that. He of course said he will ban English also. Now the point is, in one sense what one could say, it is impractical, it is out of place. But the fact that someone could actually say that, that he actually could say that, you know, that means, because it is a part of the Indian culture, it is a part of the deep training of this Goraksha and Krishi. They know, because they have seen the practical effect of that. What is that? When you have machinery, that means you are depriving employment. You are depriving employment. What a tractor could do, you know, say maybe 30 laborers could do. Now we have put 30 laborers out of employment, who then go to the city to become Amitabh Bachchan and other heroes, you know. And they lose their consciousness. So, it was quite amazing, but the fact is it was true. Another interesting point I just want to make a note is that just yesterday I was attending a counseling session in our school for the parents of the 8th standard, the students of 8th standard of our school, okay? They are going into 9th and 10th. So they are going to select their subjects. You know, in the ICSE system, you have to take a decision now whether you're going into science or commerce or, you know, elsewhere. Much of the, in that particular session, the principal addresses, then some teachers address the different subjects. But the hero or the main person of that session is the counselor. When we were in school 25 years back, we never heard the word of a counselor being in the school. Anand Prabhu, do you remember? Rishabh, counselor. But now every school has counselors. These counselors, they have either graduates in psychology or a master's in psychology, plus they need to have a lot of work experience. They are supposed to guide the students, recognize their problems. Now with the same counselor, they are addressing the parents. And what was she addressing? She was telling, parents, please note, statistics have shown that maximum number of suicides are in 8th standard. This is what I hear in yesterday's class. So don't put pressure on your wards. Don't try to use your children to fulfill your ambitions. Like that. So out of a 40-minute session, 20-minute session was for the counselor to counsel the parents. This is the nature of today's world. Anyway, the main point I wanted to bring out from that was not even this. The main point was that in today's education system, the educationists also have recognized that different individuals have different talents. Like when we were young, we just had a choice: engineering or commerce. Engineering, medicine or commerce, that's all. There is nothing beyond that. Everyone had to either fit into this or fit into this. Doesn't matter what qualities he has. The parents would just force this way. If you don't get this, you are useless. But in the modern system, they have actually recognized that it is not true. It is not possible for everyone to be an engineer. It is an impractical situation. And there are other talents which also can be utilized. Of course, their motive ultimately may be for a material ends. But the fact is, they have recognized that people have different natures. Students have different nature, which is the basic truth. So now they get subjects. You can go into commerce, you can go into commerce application, you can go into art. You can go into media, communications. So even at the 8th standard, you can decide, okay, this child is not so much good in mathematics and so on and so forth, so he could go this way. So they recognize now that actually everyone is not equal. Chatur Varna. There are different types of mentalities. Someone is good in mathematics, someone is good in drawing. Someone who is very good in mathematics, he may not be able to even make a circle, even a straight line properly. He's got a poor hand. There are also courses offered now in agriculture science. ICSE syllabus offers course in agriculture science. So some of these educationists, even though they may be in principle, they may say themselves as atheists, but materially they have recognized that the world is not what we thought it was, and accordingly they are making adjustments. And this way things are going on, and somehow with Krishna consciousness we can restore this Varnashram Dharma, Varnashram system. Things will fit into place and the world will again be a fit place to live in. I would like to end the class here and take up any questions. And if there is more time, then today is the disappearance day of Srila Abhiram Thakur, and I could just read a little bit about him. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. These suicide bombers, Fidayin, and these jihadis, can we call them Kshatriyas, Prabhu?
See, even in this Varnashram system, these are the four basic qualities, but in general, each person has some mix. Someone may be 80% Brahmana, 10% Kshatriya, 5%, there is a mix of different qualities. So one could say in many ways that certain of these people would have some kind of Kshatriya quality. They are misusing within in a wrong system, because there is what is called normal Varnashram system and there is what is called Daivi Varnashram system. In an ideal state, when we have Rajarishi, we call it the Daivi Varnashram system, the transcendental or the system where the Devas are in ultimate control and they worship Vishnu. But otherwise, in the normal Varnashram system, yes, these qualities are there. So it is not impossible. Just like, we have big scientists using their brains to make all kinds of scientific advances. So they will be having some Brahminical tendencies from the point of view of, knowledge base. They want to do all those things. They want to learn. They want to get into things. They have certain Brahminical qualities, but misdirected. It is not easy for everyone to just go and be a suicide bomber. But we are all
Krishna's devotee. Can we say that we will just go and, you know, die for Krishna? We may want to theory, but we may not have that intensity yet.
I don't know whether they have, they may have some Kshatriya tendencies, but they are not acting according to Kshatriya principles.
Yeah.
Because a Kshatriya will not attack in surprise. He will always give a challenge. I'm going to kill you tomorrow and I'll be there with my weapons. You come with your weapons.
Yeah, that's why I said.
They are not, they won't be cowards.
They are not Kshatriyas. Kshatriya means one can go and go out and kill a tiger and come back. This is the qualification of a Kshatriya who does not hesitate. Who is, you know, very, like I said, if he takes a vow, he accomplishes it. And if someone else has taken a vow on him and he accepts that, this Kshatriya, nothing. If Kshatriya means if someone challenges to a fight, he just goes and fights. He doesn't hesitate. So there are hundreds and qualities of a Kshatriya. Just a tendency.
Yeah, thing is, he doesn't attack from behind. He doesn't attack somebody who is running away from the fight.
Yeah. No way. He's not like the modern generals who sit on the computer and have the soldiers fight the war.
Thing about the Varnashram, okay. We are always talking of the Varnashram system, and this has been quite a problem, not problem, but an issue in ISKCON for almost 3 decades after Prabhupada has left the planet. Okay. The thing is that what are the practical aspects that can be actually implemented? Because essentially when we say that in the Varnashram system, we have Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. And so on a personal level, I can say that our ego hurts if someone calls a person as, okay, you are in the Shudra category or you are in the Vaishya category. I hope you are getting the point that it hurts. You know, although we know that it is false ego, but still it hurts.
Okay.
So under that condition, what will the practical aspect of the practical structure by which Varnashram system can be implemented?
Okay. Well, I guess Prabhupada said that a few generations on, the children born in the Krishna conscious movement will be more and more advanced. He said people, they will be children born who will get those natural Brahmanical qualities, who can even light fire by mantra. They would come at some point. So when we just have to patient at the moment, we have to chant Hare Krishna and carry forward and slowly hope that the Krishna conscious movement will spread and we'll get more and more better progeny who can show these qualities in a much more clear and respectable way, and slowly the Varnashram system will automatically manifold. Actually, also one of the aims of the Bhaktivinoda Institute is, through its work, through its scientific work, is ultimately to establish a Varnashram system. Prabhupada said the Bhaktivinoda Institute should look after the economic welfare of the people in general, which can be done by getting the Varnashram system. And the work that the institute is doing in Mumbai and Berkeley is actually oriented towards that, though it is it'll take some time to accomplish.
So the second part of your answer was clear, but the first part which you told, that the children will be born in the Krishna conscious families, but then again it contradicts the very point that a person by birth, he is not a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra. By birth he is essentially a Shudra only if it is going to be Kali Yuga. Okay. And on the basis of the qualities, he is being graded as Brahmana, Vaishya, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Then how can we say that?
No. Children? It's not like that. It's when one is observing, practicing Krishna consciousness, a Krishna conscious family, couple, they would naturally beget a child who would be definitely more endowed than an ordinary person. We wouldn't be able to say that that person is born a Shudra. Kalav Shudra Sampradaya is a normal thing in the normal Kali Yuga. So it, otherwise what is the meaning? What is the meaning by saying that if one does not do his devotion service properly, then incomplete, then you are born in the family of sin. You have some natural endowment, you get a natural situation where you can pick up and go faster. So some natural qualities are there and the rest you get by training in that environment. So that is always there. So I will just, I don't know how much time we have. So today is the disappearance day of Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur. Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur ki jai. Sri Abhiram Thakur is also known as Abhiram Gopal or as Ram Das Abhiram, the favorite of Nityananda. Gaur Ganodesh Deepika verse 126 states that Sri Ram Das was formerly the coward boy friend of Krishna and Balram named as Sri Dham. Okay, I'll quickly read. It's quite interesting. So, okay. One day, Krishna, Balram and their coward friends were playing a game of hide and seek in the forest of Braja. Then in the middle of their game, Krishna decided to go to Nadia to enjoy his pastimes there. Taking with him Balram and all their friends, he adventured himself in Navdeep. Somehow or the other, he forgot Sri Dham, who remained in his hiding place in a cave. They were playing hide and seek, and suddenly Krishna says, I will go to Navdeep. And Sri Dham was hiding, and Krishna started his pastimes in Nadia. You can imagine how wonderful Lord Krishna is. Eventually, everyone assembled in Navdeep, and so the Lord began his pastimes of Sankirtan. Seeing that Sri Dham was absent, however, he became lost in thought and sometimes cried out or fainted. Regaining his consciousness, he called out, where has Sri Dham gone? Nityananda picked up the Lord and embraced him. He requested, just tell me where Sri Dham is and I'll bring him. Prabhu replied that he was in Vrindavan, so Nityananda immediately went there. In the vicinity of Govardhan, he was calling Sri Dham's name very loudly. Sri Dham came out of his hiding place and inquired, what is your name and why are you calling me? Nityananda introduced himself as Balram, but Sri Dham had some doubt due to the different dress and appearance of Nityananda, because he had taken the Nityananda form, Balram. Nityananda spoke to him, can't you recognize me? Sri Dham, everyone knows, I didn't understand this. Everyone knows that one's two hands are equal. I am going to clap my hands and start running. If you can catch me, then maybe I'll believe that you are Balram. Then he tied his cloth tightly between his legs in the fashion of a wrestler and began to run round Govardhan Hill. Finally, after circumambulating Govardhan Hill four times at great speed, his dhoti became little loose, so he had to slow down to fix his cloth. When he turned round, he saw Nityananda close behind. Sri Dham, I am sorry I doubted you, but your appearance in Kali Yuga had me confused. Anyway, why have you come looking for me? Nityananda said. Krishna has fallen unconscious at not being able to see you. Sri Dham said, where has Kanhaiya gone? I am telling you, just listen carefully. We have all gone to Navdeep Puri. If you will now accompany me, then our pastimes will be complete. Sri Dham said, no, I am not going. I can understand that I'll have to sit in someone's womb for 10 months. Besides that, all of you left me behind. So what is the use of my coming now? Nityananda said, anyway, let's go and discuss the matter with Krishna. For the time being, you can come in this dress. Sri Dham laughed. Okay, but you have to carry me on your shoulders. After all that running, my feet have become very heavy. Nityananda, if I say no, then you'll advertise to everyone that I have become tired from running after you. You are the chief coward boy. Please try to consider the fact that I accept the happiness and distress which everyone feels. Hearing this, Sri Dham submitted somewhat. Well, you and I are just the same. You know that when Krishna's sight loses, I sometimes carry you on my shoulders. Nityananda, Kanha is very much subjugated by your love. None of his pastimes are beyond your perception. All of the other coward boys always sing your praises. Come on, now you should meet with Gauranga. Sridham was somewhat convinced and went to dress himself accordingly by putting on all his ornaments. Very quickly, the two of them approached Nadiyanagar. When Sri Sachinandan saw that they had arrived, he came to embrace Sridham. At first, Sridham was rather concerned to see everyone's different appearance, especially their shaved heads. Mahaprabhu explained how in Kali Yuga it is by renunciation that people can cross over the ocean of material desires. Finally explained that Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela are one. I have come this time as my own devotee in order to taste the happiness of devotional service. Now my name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya and from today on you will be called Abhiram. Nityananda smiled and said, now we will call you brother Abhiram. But how will we play together if you remain so tall? So, as we used to play under the shade of Vamshivad, we will now play here also. Abhiram understood his hint and made himself somewhat shorter, as was fitting for Kali Yuga. So that means, in the early Yuga, they were, as it is, we said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at least 7 feet tall. But even that was short. So, Sridham had to, you know, adjust his height for Kali Yuga. Now, Nityananda was happy and said that they could properly carry one another on each other's shoulders. This is just a pastime by which we come to know who is Abhiram Thakur. We can see how Krishna is transcending not even place, but even time. He is in some other Yuga, and suddenly he says, let's go to Nadia, another place, another time, completely different, you know. These are the glories of the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.